It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Pressure coming on 3rd and 10. Picked up enough to give him time to find George Kittle. He ripped it away. Touchdown, San Francisco. George Kittle just wanted it more.
Oh, baby. Baby, the catch of George Kittle's career. That was one hell of a catch. George Kittle, good to see him back on the football field. The Niners handled their business against the Patriots. 30-13. Look, was it the cleanest game? No. There's a lot to clean up offensively, defensively, special teams once again. But you know what? You needed to get right game. You needed to snap the two-game losing streak. And that's what the 49ers did to improve to 2-2 after the first quarter of the season. Brock, you know, the numbers don't say it. Completion percentage-wise, 15-27. But Brock was really, really, really good. 288 yards, extending plays with his legs, scrambling over and over and over again. The Niners handled their business yesterday at Levi's Stadium as we say good morning to everybody out there. 888-957-9570 is the number. What is your big takeaways? What you like? What you didn't like? Brock's performance. We're going to dive into it all here as we say good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. What up, Shasky?
What's up? You know, I look at this and you tell, winning with style points. That's something we kind of talked about last week. Look, the really good teams, what do they get? 12 wins a year? Yep. So you get 12 Mondays, give or take, depending on, you know, Thursday night football and whatnot. 12, you know, days a year where you get to come in and feel really good about your team. Look, I know it wasn't perfect, but they handled business and they did what they needed to do. We can talk about cleaning up the red zone. We can talk about maybe pass protecting a little better for Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy maybe not taking as many hits. But, I mean, the deep ball was just all over the place. That catch by Juwan Jennings was unbelievable.
Special.
Only to be outshined by the George Kittle play. And it brings me right to the red zone. You know, I know that they were a very efficient team the last couple of years with the red zone when you had CMC and you could do a lot of design stuff in the red zone. They have to get that thing cleaned up. That is one area I will listen to coming out of this game is they got to clean up the red zone. And I have some solutions for later on. But you brought up the George Kittle catch. And look, I think the signature play of George Kittle's career is probably the New Orleans play.
4th and 2.
Right? But that was like a yards after the catch, fighting, pushing guys down. Down the line, given the score of the game and where the team was at that moment, it was like an arrival game against an established team. That's the best catch of his career thus far. I mean, maybe you go to the Dallas Cowboy playoff game one because of the magnitude of a fourth quarter catch like that. But Bonte, to high point that ball over those two guys and then get his feet down, I thought that was a hell of a catch by George Kittle.
It was his best catch of his career. There's no doubt in my mind, and they needed that. Look, there's a lot going on with the 49ers in terms of trying to get everybody in sync and trying to get everybody on the football field. The positives, Debo played. George Kittle played. So Debo, who we thought was going to miss a couple games, misses the one game against the L.A. Rams. And there was no, you didn't see anything about the calf yesterday. Ran the D route, the go route there. Brock Purdy hits him. I would have liked to lead him just a little bit, but I'm nitpicking. But Debo makes a big play. Purdy was stretching the field deep there. So he's back on the field. Trent Williams didn't miss action. He was back on the football field. Now, there is a concern with Fred Warner. And like, you know, I'm not the worrier of the show, but when Fred says, I just couldn't go in the second half, ankle, and I'm looking at Arizona coming in next week, who got rolled yesterday by Washington, and I think they borderline gave up, but they're going to be a desperate team next Sunday coming into Levi's Stadium. Something to monitor. If this team doesn't have Fred Warner in the middle of that defense, I'm highly concerned because Devondre Campbell.
Of course.
Fred Warner's, and that's the thing. He makes an all-world play once again to get the pick six. He bumps a guy, and reroutes the guy on the drag route, reroutes him, still plays his own, follows the quarterback's eyes, comes up with the interception, takes it back to the house. Fred Warner, what an unbelievable play. You know, it brought me back to Patrick Willis having a pick six against the St. Louis Rams back at Candlestick Park when they beat up on the Rams 35-0. Now, so it's Singletary was mic'd up or whatnot. But the way Fred Warner plays, and they may miss some more pass coverage if he does miss action. We don't know anything yet, but boy, what a play by Fred.
I thought that Charvarius Ward hustled his tail off to come down and help out. I think it was Jair Brown block on Jacoby Brissett so they can get that touchdown. Because at that point in the game, it's 6-0 and you're dominating the game. And it felt so similar to the week before where you're like, how can I look up at the score where we've had the ball the whole time? And if you punch in one of those two field goal opportunities from earlier in the game, it's just a total different feel. And I'm thinking, ah, they're hanging around. You're letting the New England Patriots hang around. You can't do this. You got to punch one in and leave it to Fred Warner to kind of like disguise where he was in the zone, jump up and make an unbelievably athletic play. Your point about him being healthy is well taken. They're going nowhere without Fred Warner. Everyone agrees. But this next 4 weeks, you got Arizona, short week Seattle, and then, you know, Cowboys, Chiefs, like all within a stretch. This is, to me, the ultimate litmus test over the next couple weeks for the 49ers. And yes, they need Fred Warner right.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
If he's got to miss a game, it sucks. But like, I got to think long term here.
Well, not only that, but you know the way he rerouted that wide receiver on his drag route, rerouted him to have the wherewithal to reroute him, get back into his zone, and then still follow the eyes of Jacoby Brissett and pick that play off. I just thought it was a Hall of Fame type of play. But moving forward, you know, playing Seattle and playing Arizona with Kyler Murray and James Conner. Then you got Seattle. We'll watch Seattle tonight because I don't know if that 3-0 is real up there in Seattle. We shall see what they do tonight against Detroit in a monster game, because if they lose, the Niners are just one game back of them in the NFC West. You're back in the division race. But you want all pro Fred there because, you know, the Chiefs, look, they're beat up right now. Kansas City, we'll get to them later in the week, but losing Rashee Rice is massive.
Yeah.
They really don't have Pacheco. They don't have Hollywood Brown. That's a massive, massive, massive blow to the Kansas City Chiefs, but they still have Superman and Patrick Mahomes, so they should be fine there, but Baltimore's looking good. But anyway, Fred's got to get right with the ankle. Overall, I thought the DBs played very, very well. Amador Lenore is just blanketing everybody. Everybody. But on the flip side, it's in the part of you. We're going to take all the calls, and we're all feeling good. You look at the other side, and the Niners were there in 2017, where the Patriots are. That's a bad, bad, bad football team.
No doubt.
And so that get-right game came at the right time for the San Francisco 49ers.
Look,
they made coaching decisions yesterday, and I was like, boy, they don't. Or what are they doing? Like, Jeremiah, well, I get it. But there's some, even Greg Olsen's on the broadcast, public, like out loud saying, I just don't get what they're doing.
Well, there was a few fourth and ones that they let the clock go all the way down. They took the 5 yards back. I don't know. Look, Jacoby Brissett got blasted yesterday. You know, we haven't even brought him. I thought Bosa in the fourth quarter, and I know it's a blowout game against a not good team. They showed a graphic. They had like four different left tackles over the last four weeks. But that's what I've been asking for, and I think we've all been asking for. And this, how do you pronounce his name? Number 91. Okawanu?
Yeah.
Is it Okawanu?
Okawanu.
Look, I'm not here to say that this guy's the next coming. That's not what I'm saying.
Samuel Okawanu.
What a great story. This guy's in the locker room afterwards. Number 91. He had the strip on Stevenson, and then he was pressuring the quarterback. He made plays last week. This is a team that is dying for someone to step up and make a play. And this guy coming out of nowhere. And then in the post game, Nick Bosa goes, he's been asking me a lot of questions. And now that I'm a leader on the team, I really like explaining things to someone like him. He's telling the story. And I told the boys to pull the sound. He was 12 years old when he came to this country. Yep. And him and his mom left a Civil War riddled stricken state that they were in overseas. And he had never played football until he was about 14 years old, give or take. And he's still learning the game. And this is a guy that clearly has size, speed, power, and aggression, and has a knack for making plays. And on a team that desperately needs defensive linemen, where Jordan Elliott leaves the game after I thought he had a nice little start to the game.
Right.
91, let's go, baby. Let's go.
Okawanu, here's what he said after the game.
And getting cut and being here and just kind of grinding my way through the rotation. But I love it all, man, because at the end of the day, it makes a great story, man. And I'm the guy who kind of pride himself on facing things hard on and just head on and just, you know, attacking the adversity, man, because come out the other side.
I always knew what he had in his body. And he came in last year late. And then you see him in camp. He had a really strong camp. And then he had an injury, I think a hamstring or something. So it kind of set him back. And, I mean, he probably played no more than 15 plays and probably affected 10 of them. So to have a guy like that, to give some of our starters a rest and make an impact like that, it's huge for us.
Quick trigger there on the buttons, but that was Nick Bosa when he was asked about Okwadu, and this guy's going to get reps. He's going to get a lot of reps on this defensive line that doesn't have Javon Hargrave, and we'll see about Jordan Elliott. So Okwadu stepped right up in the latest reclamation project for Chris Kocurek. We had a call, I think it was BPA, talking about Chris Kocurek and the defensive line and whether or not he's had a good year or bad two-year stretch as a defensive line coach. Look, Okwadu looks like the part, and this is what Kocurek does. He knows how to develop defensive linemen, so they need him. Like, they don't need the flash plays. They need this guy.
Well, and I thought that Leonard Floyd played a really good game yesterday. Yep. I thought that the stat sheet might not show it or reflect it. You know, Bosa's effort level, Malik Collins, I thought was in the backfield over and over again. This guy Anderson wearing the Guardian cap I'd never heard of. Look, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because to your point, New England's not a great team, and that's putting it lightly. But I needed the defensive line to show up. And in a game where Fred Warner left in the second half, you know, I thought that the defensive line showed out in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, as they should with a two-touchdown lead. But that's what you're looking for.
You know, the drive of the game for me is when New England came down and made it a game, because special teams was a special run at a halftime, right? Isaac Garrido runs it to a teammate on a kickoff return, fumbles the ball. I mean, it's just like special teams. Jeez, right out of the halftime.
What was
right
that? Out of halftime. I came out of the bathroom and I go, what happened?
Right out of halftime, right?
I couldn't believe it.
So you fumble a kickoff right away. Who did he run into? Was it Sobert there?
Sobert.
So he runs right into him.
And he was like holding it in his right hand. I don't even
get it. So the Patriots get a short field. They score a touchdown. It's all of a sudden 20-10. And look, did I feel like the Niners were in a position to blow this game? No. But you don't want to give a team life. You don't want to give them confidence. So what are you going to do on that next drive? When they go four plays, 70 yards. Boom, 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 boom. Deebo 53.
That was a
Jordan
time.
Mason with a nice little run. Jordan Mason with some nice hands. And by the way, the Jugs machine is helping Jordan Mason. He looks like he knows how to catch a football very, very well. Next three plays go to Jordan Mason. He scores. It's 27-10. Order's restored. You're back in control. So to me, that was the key drive. Right away, first play, first and 10 at the 30-yard line. Purdy said, I'm letting this baby fly. And he let it fly. And Deebo catches it. 53 yards, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that was a great throw. I thought he had a couple throws to Jennings. One was over the top.
Yep.
Jennings like slowed down and used his back to catch it. The DB was all over him. It was just a perfect throw. Mm-hmm. But to me, the play that you're talking about when it comes to Jugs machines, it was the one that got called back. It was 13-0. They're on this like long drive where it felt like they scored five touchdowns, and they were all called back because of illegal formations
The George Kittle hold was crap. Well, that was a bad call.
On that play, Jordan Mason made such a great catch over the middle where he snagged it and kept running. And I'm thinking, to your point, you said it last week, like, hey, that investment into the Jugs machine, what a great investment for Jordan Mason. He made a hell of a catch there.
Well, he's starting to earn the trust of Brock Purdy on these shutdowns, because the checkdowns are wide open. Because, you know, look, we'll get to Brandon Ayuk, we'll get to George Kittle, we'll get to Deebo. They put so much pressure on the defense. Juwan Jennings is starting to do that as well. That all of a sudden, that checkdown stuff underneath where Christian McCaffrey thrived over and over in this offense, it's right there for Jordan Mason. I just think maybe in the Minnesota game, there was maybe a lack of trust for Jordan Mason on the checkdowns, because there were some checkdowns open against Brian Flores' defense. By the way, Minnesota 4-0, looking good. But Jordan Mason now making himself available for these checkdowns, and he looks good, man, catching the ball with straight hands, with the diamond technique. He looks really, really solid, and that investment has been paid off. So, look, Brock looked good. And another thought I had with Brock, and we're not going to get into it long term, but, you know, everybody makes such a big deal about when he gets paid, you're going to have to say goodbye to so many guys. Number one, I'm not so sure about that. And number two, I'm good either way, because Brock is showing that he's a guy you could build around.
Totally.
Franchise guy, he looks the part. Whether it's last week against the Rams, whether it's this week against the Patriots, if he gets his full complement of weapons, Brock is a very elite quarterback. He's elite. He's a top five guy. So whether he gets paid, he's starting to get to the point where he's in his third year. He could elevate guys around him. Well, that's the next step.
Run the right route and be where you're supposed to be, and he's going to hit you, right? I mean, that's kind of what he's proven. He made a couple of plays with his legs on third down to extend drives early in the game that were just brilliant.
First drive of the game.
There was Like, if I'm going to nitpick, because I think he's a really good player right now, there's one area. Every now and then, when he's scrambling around and the play is dead, just throw it away, young man. Save yourself the ability so you don't get hit. Because I think we all agree, he goes down, we're done, right? He goes down, we're done. Yeah. And so the protection wasn't great yesterday against a pretty subpar, you know, New England front that doesn't have a lot of star recognition. No. I mean, they traded their best player to Atlanta.
Matthew Judon.
So, you know, he's just got to, I'm again, if I'm just nitpicking a little, I love Brock. I love the way he runs around. Every now and then, just live to see another down. And I would say that about all the great players. I mean, Josh Allen, I think, takes too many hits outside of the pocket. Yep. And he's 6'6", 230. So that's my only little nitpick. That's really it. And the red zone interception, I think he's had another one against Cincinnati where he was rolling right.
Yeah, he had one. That was the one.
I thought he forced that.
One against Cincinnati was right at the end of the third quarter last season.
Was that in the red zone?
No. Yes, it was in the red zone. And then Geronimo Pratt, I believe, picked it off. And then, the next play, he had back-to-back throws in that football game against Cincinnati where he threw picks. That one,
gotcha.
He forced it at the end of the third quarter. So that was... That was inside the 15, I believe, if I recall correctly.
I couldn't remember another red zone turnover. I thought he was a little late with it, and then he threw it up, and it was double coverage. Not the greatest play. I love that the guy goes for the gusto. Again, these are small criticisms of what I think is just a really good player in Brock Purdy. He's been outstanding, and seeing him run early in the game, you referenced, I got one, two, three. I mean, like three different times on third down in the first half, he's running for first downs when there's nothing there. How about the play where he goes, hey, George Kittle, come on over on whatever, third and nine or whatever it was, and Kittle stops his route, comes over. I thought I would have thrown the challenge. Like, they ended up only getting a field goal anyway, but that was a great play by Purdy on a rollout play.
Yeah, the first drive of the game where they go down the field, and I know they had to settle for three, and we'll get to the red zone inefficiencies, because right now that's a problem. Last year they were really good in the red zone, but he made two scramble plays on that third down where he had to have it. And using his legs a little bit more, that's the next evolution in this offense, and that's what makes this offense, it takes it to another level. You see Josh Allen, you see Lamar, you see all these guys, Patrick Mahomes. When you can extend plays in this league and make accurate throws, that puts you on another. That puts you in another stratosphere. So right now, Brock Purdy's playing on another level. Right now, he's Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, probably your most consistent 49ers right now, alongside Jordan Mason, who had another big time game. So we'll talk more about him. 888-957-9570 is the number. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're gonna call it to the roast, better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flush. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. It is a Victory Monday here on the Morning Roast. We'll talk all about it here. Brought to you by Frontier Ford. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek, in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. I'm optimistic like VPA.
Over the middle, he gets picked off by Warner. Fred Warner climbs the ladder to get it, and now he sprints down the sideline. Inside the 10, he won't be denied. Touchdown, San Francisco.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
What up, Oreo Cookie? Victory Monday. I want to hear from Niner fans after the win yesterday. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. All the callers, all Niner fans, all roasters. You guys heard it yesterday. And of course, the guest line is always presented by River Islands. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Fred Warner with another just monster play. He's playing at such an elite level right now, a Hall of Fame level. But, you know, you think about him being a quarterback of the defense, and you got the quarterback of the offense in Brock Purdy. You got some great pillars right here on this football team. And number 54 making another game-changing play. Seems like week in and week out. And I know I was looking at all the reports. David Lombardi from SF Standard, I guess, had a video on Fred Warner before they put on a uniform yesterday, before pregame warm-ups. He's giving a speech with the team basically said, I just had to make sure we're all on the same page.
Oh.
And so Fred has taken his leadership role to another level, as well as the play on the football field.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Purdy and you're talking about Fred Warner, and those guys are just consummate professionals. Clearly, Purdy, just the way that he conducts the huddle, and you didn't have any of the play clock issues. Yep. Like you did the week prior. You did have a timeout that they had to burn earlier because they were late on a substitution package. But the way that he commands everything, you just feel calm. Everything's calm, and you know that they're going to move the ball. And then on the defensive side, seeing Fred Warner just, I mean, he made play after play after play until he got hurt and came out of the game. What I liked, quietly, as you talk about two studs, and you're talking about, you know, Purdy's going to get paid. He is going to get paid. But their ability to draft and develop around those two guys is going to be really important. And as you see this Okwuanu, number 91, kind of come out of nowhere and make plays, huge. I like that Malik Mustafa was getting a lot of run. Now, he missed a wide-open tackle early in the game. He missed an interception late in the game.
Yep.
But for the most part, you didn't really bring up his name. He's playing. I like that. Renardo Green, in and out of the lineup, but he was playing. Yadam and him were kind of going back and forth. So you're playing that young player, and then you're going to get Pearsall back on offense. And Dominic Pooney, who came out of the game and then came back into the game, rookies playing, cost-controlled rookies, contributing to this team is what is going to be the lifeline of sustaining and having elite pillars like the Kittles and the Warners and the Purdies. But when you mix in the young guys, a Jordan Mason, an undrafted guy who's second, third in the league in rushing after Derrick Henry's performance last night, that's how you sustain.
No doubt. Well, Fred Warner once was that player. George Kittle was once that player, right? Brock Purdy, I guess, was once that player. Juwan Jennings was once that player. Guys you're drafting and developing, and then you bring them along slowly here to where they're contributing in big-time wins. That's what they've done under John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. They've done a really good job. But I want to hear from Fred Warner because we all believe he's playing on a different level.
Yeah.
He was asked that question yesterday after the game.
I mean, I'm just trying to do my best, you know, whatever that takes for the team, honestly. And, you know, the play today, I've been talking about that for weeks now. You know, Coach Staley does a great job in our ball meeting, and he's made it an emphasis that if you score on defense, you have about 100% chance of winning the game. And so I'm like, we got to score on D. And for us to get that play, you know, obviously we won, and we got to keep it going now.
You brought up Coach Staley. That would be Brennan Staley, who's controlling the ball meetings.
What does he do? Stop asking that question.
Does anyone know what he does?
Well, he just said the
you
ball
meeting. You don't have to ask that again.
Hey, listen to it again. He'll kind of Fred Warner explains it right here.
I mean, I'm just trying to do my best, you know, whatever that takes for the team, honestly. And, you know, the play today, I've been talking about that for weeks now. You know, Coach Staley does a great job in our ball meeting, and he's made it an emphasis that if you score on defense, you have about 100% chance of winning the game. And so I'm like, we got to score on D. And for us to get that play, you know, obviously we won, and we got to keep it going now.
So they have a ball meeting, and Brady Staley apparently is sitting there, hey, you score on defense, we're going to win 100% of the time. You know, Staley loves his analytics. So, scoring on defense, Fred Warner scored on defense, Nick Bosa coming up with a sack fumble, which is what's going to take him to another level. When Bosa can get, I know, you see that? That's my cousin right there. Bosa get after the quarterback and forcing turnovers is his next evolution. But the injury, we're all concerned about Fred Warner's injury. He was asked about it.
You know, it was all based off the feel. You know, like I said, if I could have been, it'd take a lot for me to tap out, right? So, I mean, if I could have been out there, I would have been. We'll get more information as we go with scans and all that, but I feel good right now.
Did he roll the ankle?
I guess so. I didn't catch it.
Okay, I didn't either. I thought I missed something.
Yeah, I missed something too. I don't know what happened, but the fact that, you know, we know Fred Warner's a gladiator. And an injury, like we saw him in Philadelphia, he was down on the turf, first drive of the game. I said, boy, he's done. And he comes back in the game and he does what Fred Warner does, right? What was it, a stinger or a shoulder or something like that? So he was laying on the turf. It's like, damn, we lost Fred, first drive of the game. Damn, this is not going to go well. Well, it didn't go well. Fred not coming back into that football game. I sat there the entire second half. I was like, damn, Fred's not playing.
Right?
He has to really be hurt. So if he is really hurt, then how long is it? That MRI today, if he's out 1 to 2, 2 to 3, well, you got the Cardinals with a mobile quarterback on deck. And they got some playmakers, although last night they got smoked, and I think they quit. I watched that. I had it on the screen because the Niners were handling their business. I thought they borderline quit.
Wow.
I just did not like their effort and their energy whatsoever.
Call of Duty Black Ops 6 coming out soon, by the way.
Well, you know, they didn't have Trey McBride. They're probably going to have Trey McBride back next week, Arizona. They had to play without their tight end.
Yeah,
so,
he's nice.
You know, you got Arizona. Then you got Seattle on a short week with all their playmakers and their studs.
But they're missing four players.
Kenneth Walker to third.
Yeah, they're at least four guys that aren't going to be able to play on that short week against the Niners. They already know. Four contributors, starters. You know, Bonte, Nick Bosa made a play yesterday. You've been talking about it. I've been talking about it. I can't remember too many times where he has gone for the sack, stripping the guy, and then recovering the ball was incredible. But the fact that he went around the edge and then did the strip sack thing, like, I thought he played with his pants on fire in the entire second half, and that's what I wanted to see from him, and it was great to see. We've all been asking for it and begging for it, and it felt like he understood the assignment yesterday.
No, he did, and he's been swiping at it. He tried to swipe at Darnold in week two on the sack where he's going for the football, so he understands the next evolution to his game and what makes a great pass to Reggie White's, Derek Thomas's, Lawrence Taylor's, J.J. Watt's, to T.J. Watt's, Von Miller's. You go get that football. You go get a sack and you go get that football. Yeah. So that's a big step for Nick Bosa, and they're going to need that from a moving forward here. Can you create turnovers and get this ball back to Brock Purdy in the offense? That's, look, quietly they put up 30 yesterday. Now the defense scored 7 of them. We get all that. But I love that 30 number, Shasky. Well, I love that 30.
Once it was 27 to 10, it felt like GO, meaning game over.
Yeah, it was game over.
And, you know, I can't believe the Niners are the only team in the history of football to have a backup tight end be their kick returner and now a fullback be their punt returner. Remember when Delanie Walker was their kick returner? Yep. I mean, he was good. He was solid. They literally jocked out. And I'm not mad at them. I would have done it too. Kyle Juszczyk is more reliable than anyone else you got.
Well, Jacob Cowie got hurt too.
Bonte.
They said he got hurt.
How are we the only team in the league with a fullback?
But you know, though? When it comes to punt returns, not to cut you off, there was muff punts all over the place this
weekend.
The
Bills game late.
The Bills game.
Yeah.
The Vikings game. The Eagles game. Cooper DeJean. DeJean, whatever. He muffed the punt in Tampa.
Thank you, Eagles, for losing.
Who else? There was like, I saw muff punts all over the place yesterday. Guys are muffing punts the punt return game. I don't know if teams are practicing special teams, but it's just not the Niners. I saw at least four from other teams. It's like, what's going on here?
I have a belief that I'm dead serious on this. 9 times out of 10, I wouldn't even put a player back there. No, I'm not joking. I just let it land where it lands.
I can't do that.
Wherever it lands, we just take it.
It lands inside the 5-yard line. So what? Because that's where safeties happen. That's where you got to condense the playbook. I'm good off that. Get me a competent punt returner.
And the other element that, and again, I'm nitpicking here. I'm telling you, dude, I'd have cut Wisnowski and I would have kept Presley Harvin III.
I'm keeping Wisnowski.
I'm cool off Mitch. Mitch looks cooked.
But he's not cooked. He's fine.
It is sad, but it's true.
He's fine. He'll be fine. They'll be fine. It's preseason for everybody. Preseason's now over.
Dog, it's week 4.
Over. The whole month of September is preseason.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
The whole month of, that's what they've been talking about all season. September's now preseason. Now we get to the real season.
They're playing Malik.
That's what all the experts say.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
They're playing Malik Mustafa, a rookie at safety. They're a second-year player at safety. They're playing their rookie in and out of the third corner spot. They got an undrafted running back. They've got Okawanu making plays on the defensive line. They got a rookie right guard. They got a second-year player linebacker in D. Winters, who I thought showed something. And they got 2 7th-rounders in Jennings and Purdy, just absolutely balling right now. This team, like, I don't want another first-round pick ever again. Just give me the late-round picks. They're killing it. Slow down.
We all want first-round picks. All right. When the Red Gold win, however, our listeners win. The morning after every victory, be sure to tune into the morning roast for your chance to win a jersey. Today, it will be around 7:30. So you want to stay tuned for that. Again, when the Red and Gold win, our listeners win. And around 7:30, you'll have a chance to win a jersey presented by Habba's Law, because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. More on the Niners coming up here, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Let's get to Brock Purdy and his excellence, huh? How about that? That's coming up here on The Roast.
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
What up, San Leandro Mo? What up, Roasters? Again, we're giving you a chance to win a jersey, 7:30. Be tuned. Be tuned. This segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Before we get to, I got some thoughts on Brock Purdy, and just I'll read some stats on what he's doing here. It's really, really amazing what he's done.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
I am happy. I'm very happy with Brock Purdy. You see the quarterbacks around the league? Boy, I'm very, very happy with Brock Purdy. It could be Carolina. It could be Cleveland. It could be a lot of these bad, the Raiders. You know, shout out to the Raiders. They got a win yesterday. They got a win. Shout out to the Raider Nation, 2-2.
To play both sides when it comes to the Raiders.
Who's the Raiders out? Who they have next week?
Bo Nix and his 67 yards passing.
Raiders would be 3-2. That defense is real, though, at Denver. They got a legit defense.
That's a horrible loss for the Jets, by the way.
Horrible. Zerline's done. You want to talk about cooked? You want to get on with now? Greg Zerline's cooked.
Legatron?
Oh, yeah. Not no more. Not anymore.
How about the guy kicking a 63-yarder yesterday?
I know. Sly with the guns? With the guns?
Actually, I thought the guy with the guns was the referee yesterday. The head referee had cannons. No, my guy was jacked, bro.
They hit the weight room. They hit the weight room tough. Referees now, like somebody's, D. Wright, Darrell Wright, shout out Darrell Wright. He sent me a video of Gucci Man, James Williams, you know, because the NBA's back and media days today for the Golden State Warriors down at Chase Center. So basketball is going to be today? Here before it's today.
God, the NBA's coming back way too soon.
Stiney and Guru will be live at Chase Center today for media day. I think Mike Dunleavy is going to stop by.
Yay!
Kyle Anderson is going to stop by. Buddy Buckets, Buddy Hill's going to stop by. So they're going to talk. They're going to be down there at media day at Chase Center. So James Williams, Gucci Man,
huh?
What makes you say that?
You were really excited when you said his name.
Just promoting the show. I'm definitely buying stock in Andrew Wiggins. Buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins. We have no other choice.
No, you have choices in life. You don't have to. You have choices. You don't have to. I know I am.
Speaking
hold on. Before I get to Sir James Williams, you got me sidetracked here. Gucci Man. You talk about referees with guns. Well, NBA refs now, like, they're white. Gucci Man was wearing earrings. He had, like, ice in his ears. And he was saying, there was a video where he said, the ball does lie. The ball lies all the time. And he goes on this little rant. I'm like, too many referees are getting airtime these days.
Does he have his own social media account?
He was on some podcast or something.
But Ed Malloy!
But James Williams, a.k.a. Gucci Man, had, like, ice in his ears. Like, he had two big fat earrings. I'm like, man, I need to get my fat ass into shape and become an NBA official. They get paid well. Ice in the ears, wearing chains, fresh cuts. Gucci Man's never had a bad lighting, has he? Never had a bad lighting. Haircuts are always fresh.
All these referees that you read when you read their stuff, and we'll get back into the Niners, but whenever you read them, like, I like to go to Italy. I like to go to Paris. Like, I'm not surprised he's got ice in his ears.
Yes, I know.
I mean, like,
they're living the life. They're living the life.
You know, and the fact that they're all, you know, probably, you know. On the take.
On the what?
On the take.
What's the take? What's that?
Know, just I don't trust any of them. I've seen the Donaghy doc.
All right. Do you trust Brock Purdy?
Because, of course I do.
In his first 25 career starts, he's got the highest passer rating for a quarterback through his first 25 career starts since 1970. Look at this list. Number 5, Deshaun Watson. Number 4, Dan Marino.
Wait a minute. You can't just gossip. Deshaun Watson had the highest in 25 starts?
No. That was number 5.
That's what I'm saying. Like, wow. That's,
yeah, top 5. Wow. He was really good.
No, he was good.
We forget.
Watson.
Things have gone sideways for him, no doubt.
Number 4?
Dan Marino.
Wow, that's a name.
Yeah, that is a name.
Okay.
Number three, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
106.2.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Number two, Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
112.5. And number one, Brock Purdy.
Wow.
Now, how about this? Highest completion percentage through the first 25 career starts in franchise history. Number five, Alex Smith. Number four, Colin Kaepernick. Number three, Jeff Garcia. Number two, Joe Montana. Number one, Brock Purdy. And he's number one by a long shot. Montana had a 63% completion percentage. Now the rules were different.
Yeah,
we understand all that. Yeah, but Brock Purdy started at 69%. He's completed 69% of his passes through the first 25 starts of his career. Most passing touchdowns in franchise history through his first 25 career starts. Well, number five is Steve Spurrier. The old ball coach of Florida.
Number one overall pick.
Heisman Trophy winner. Number four, Joe Montana. Number three, Colin Kaepernick. Number two, Jeff Garcia. Number one, Brock Purdy with 47 touchdown passes. Number two, Jeff Garcia at 41. The highest passer rating through the quarterback's first 25 starts is Brock Purdy, and it's not even close. Basically, what I'm saying is that this guy is rewriting the record book with the San Francisco 49ers, a place where John Brody and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Garcia and all these guys play quarterback. Brock Purdy is excelling at an unbelievable level. That makes me, as we talk about Fred Warner last segment and discuss him and being the defensive captain, well, we know we've got a quarterback. Yeah. And there's no doubts about it. This guy's a pretty damn good quarterback in Brock Purdy.
It's not the same. Regarding all the numbers, because those numbers you cited, they all pass the eyeball test, right? Which is the number one thing. Like, he passes the eyeball test. But, like, and I know, like, for the three-point shots now, you see all the numbers that are being thrown up, and it kind of dilutes how great a Reggie Miller was or a Larry Bird, because they just didn't shoot the volume that these guys shoot now, right? That doesn't mean those guys weren't great. It's comparative to their eras. So, all those things that you reference, like, I know that the stats are going to put him at the top. I would just say, look amongst his contemporaries and look around the league and look at quarterback play and look where it's going, okay? And you tell me, this guy's an upper echelon quarterback.
Yep.
There's just no other way around it. Is he the best player in the league? No, but he's closer to that than he is in the middle, that's for sure. And I look at the thing that you didn't cite, which is, to me, using the legs on third down to be able to move the chains, whether it's running for first downs, whether it's scrambling or rolling left or right to get first down throws on like broken plays or creating an angle to get a throw to a specific route that was called in the huddle. He just does a great job of keeping this team on schedule. To me, and I was looking into the advanced numbers, to me, the area where they're really excelling as a team is throwing on second and short.
Yeah.
Second and short, the whole playbook opens up, and this is by design, but also Brock Purdy's gunslinger mentality of throwing it deep. They're crushing it on second and short right now in terms of passing.
It's a great down to throw on because you know you have third down in your back pocket. If you don't take a sack, you're going to face a third and short, even if it's an incomplete pass. Just don't want to take a sack, have a penalty, intentional grounding or whatnot, but they have been aggressive, but at the same time, the numbers cite that they've been basically like this for the last two seasons, and that's a good sign. That is a very good sign. They still want to get to the 30 carries, but the leash is off of Brock Purdy in terms of where he can throw the football, pardon me, and he's throwing deep down the field. He's throwing down the field. He's taking shots. He's stretching defense, so that's the evolution, too, where a defense knows, man, we can't just guard the first 15 yards or within this 15-yard box. We got to guard the entire field, sideline to sideline, deep down the field, so Brock Purdy's playing at an excellent level. That right there, throughout the last 2 weeks, I know they lost last week, but that calms the waters when you know your quarterback is going to keep you in the game or is going to put you in a position to win, and he's going to make valuable plays for your football team. That calms everything for me.
After seeing what we've seen through the first 4 or 5 weeks, it does make you kind of think about the allocation of money at wide receiver going forward, because Juwan Jennings has been so good. I love the three wide receiver sets, and I know because you got IU, because you got Debo back, and Jennings, the first play of the game, you know, Mason was on the sidelines, and they threw a little toss to Debo Samuel because they put Jennings and IU out there. I just need to find ways to get Jennings on the field. Right now, Jennings is a winning player. I'm not saying the other guys aren't. It's just I got to be creative. And so these three wide receiver sets are, I think, dynamic for them right now. And I did not think that that was going to be an element heading into the year. And seeing Juwan Jennings and how physical he is and the big body that is just so unique to the other two wide receivers that they have, and even Cowings and Pearsall, like I gotta continue to find ways to get him out there. Also, if teams are going to play man-to-man, he gives me a guy that can win a one-on-one matchup, even if I'm like, if I'm Jennings and I'm being clouded by someone, I know as Brock Purdy, I could throw the ball his way because his catch radius is really good with a guy draped on him. The other element of going when teams go man, because that's what a lot of the New England did. They went man on him. Purdy has to run. He's got to be willing to gash them via the run, and he did it a couple of times yesterday in specific spots where it's like, all right, you're going to man us up across the board, and we're going to run these deep routes. I've got to be the beater on being able to scramble outside of the pocket and pick up first downs, and he's shown that propensity.
Well, stick it on Jennings for a second. You see it in Buffalo where Josh Allen's throwing to Keon Coleman, and he's just getting in position, being a big body wide receiver. And it got me to think, like, boy, Anquan Boldin was like that, but he wasn't as tall as Juwan Jennings. The 49ers haven't had a guy like this in a very long time where you can't throw the ball in one-on-one situation and say, hey, Juwan Jennings, go make a play. And his ability to go make a play, his confidence is through the roof right now. Kyle Shanahan mentioned after the game, but he's always had the confidence. But being a big body wide receiver who could high point the football, who's going deep down the field and positioning himself very well like a power forward, grabbing a rebound off the boards, off the glass. Juwan Jennings could do that. And so now you have that element, you know, that element of having a 6'3 guy, 215, 220, who's nasty, who's physical. That gets me excited about Ricky Pearsall. Because now if you could get a guy who's great in quick area or short area quickness and in intermediate, in a, you know, the 4 to 5 yard route tree where you can run a quick out, you can run a quick dig, you can run a quick slant. Now you get Pearsall in here. I'm very eager to see what Pearsall is because now I got this element of Juwan Jennings. I have Brandon Ayuk running routes. Deebo Samuel is just a playmaker. Boy, they've got weapons, man. They've got weapons. And I think this offense is slowly starting to crank up, man. And so, yeah, Juwan Jennings, I think this guy coming along here, getting the 88 yards yesterday, they just haven't had this in a while.
Did you think they were trying to force some stuff, Brock and Kyle, to Ayuk yesterday?